Says the Gemara at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Chomesh Esrei Milis. We began the story, the famous story of David HaMelech. Omalei Reb Chista Lahu Midrabonon. Now, Kamasader Agadata Kamei. Reb Chista said to one of the Rabbonon who was Masada, the Agadaic in Yonim, Omalei Shemia Lecho. Have you ever heard Hani Chane Chomesh Esrei Milis? These 15 Shira Milis in Tehillim, Keneged Mi Omrom David. Why did David compose 15? What are they corresponding? So he said, Rabbi Yechanan said the following: B'shah Shekora David Shittin. When David dug out the Shittin, why was he digging out the Shittin? So Rashi explains: either this follows the opinion that says that the Shittin was not there from Sheshes Mei Bereishis, or even if it follows the opinion that it was there from Sheshes Mei Bereishis, but maybe became clogged up. So either way, he was digging it out. Kofa Tahoima, and the Tahoim, remember the depths, began flooding the world. Uboy Lemishtafe Alma, there was a real chance that it was going to flood the world. Omar David Chomesh Esrei Mailois. So that's when David composed the 15 prokim of Shira Mailois. Vahiridon, and the water subsided, the water descended. That's what we saw last time. With the obvious question being, says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case, Chomesh Esrei Mailois, exclamation mark. Yoirdois mi boyele. Chomesh Esrei Mailois means it's ascending, going up. But if the whole purpose of the story was, to the contrary, he wasn't trying to get the water to ascend, he was trying to get it to descend. So why did he compose 15 Shir HaMalais? He should have composed 15 Shir HaYordais, because he wanted the water to descend. It also does not explain, by the way, what the significance, if at all, of the number 15. We'll soon see, according to the second version of the Gemara, 15 is explained. But according to this first version, we don't really understand why it was 15 specifically. So he said to him, Hoyel v'adakarton. Seeing as you mentioned it, Hochi Itma, this is actually the way it should go. B'sho'o Shekoro David Shittin. So this is the second version of the story, and this is a very famous episode. When David was digging out the Shittin, Kofa Tahoima, the Tahoim flooded, or began overflowing. Uboy Lemishtafe Alman, it wanted to flood the world. Omar David, so David says, Mi Ika Diyoda, is there anybody who knows the following halacha? Now, a bit strange, David HaMelech didn't know the halacha himself. So look at the last Rashi. Mi Ika Diyoda, says Rashi. David Loyhoyo Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabboi. David HaMelech was not Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabboi, but Achitofel, before his Rebbe Achitofel, Vuhu Hayosham, and he was there. So that's why David was saying, is there anybody who knows the Halacha? It might well have been that David did know, David HaMelech did know the Halacha himself, but he didn't want to pass it in front of his Rebbe, because Achitofel was his Rebbe. Even though the Mishnah tells us famously that he didn't learn much from Achitofel, he only learned a little bit, but even if you learn a minimal amount, that's got a halachic status of Rabbi. So what did he say? Omar David, Mi Ike Yediyoda, does anybody know? Ishari, is it permissible, Lemichtav Shein, is it permissible to write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Achaspa? What's Chaspa? On an earthenware? Shard, whatever, some piece of earthenware, which will obviously sink because of its weight. And his eitzah was, if you write the Shem Hashem, that will, for whatever reason, cause the waters to subside. So what was the question? Is it mutter to write the Shem Hashem on the chaspa? V'nishdaya, what does v'nishdaya mean? We will throw b'tahoyma into the tubs, or into the depths, umanach, and there it will rest, and it will clog up the hole. Now, what exactly was his shaila? Is it mutter? Why should it not be mutter? Because you're raising the name of Hashem. The Shem Hashem. Presumably the name of Hashem will be erased in the water. Now this question, is it mutter under these circumstances? Says Rashi, Achas top Rashi, Mipnei shehacheres soilel v'yoyred, because the cheres will sink and descend, ve'enoit sok. It won't float because it's heavy. In order that it should descend and it should rest on the hole which had been unplugged, as it were, and was threatening to flood the world. That was the question. If you look in Sefer Shmuel, it says there, Mufurash Shemot Oy David, that David in fact found this Cheres al pnei nekev ha-tahoim, on the whole of the tahoim, but kostum boyd, it was written on it, shayasham misheshes neibreshes, which would suggest that the tahoim was there from the sheshes neibreshes, but perhaps not the shittim. So this piece of earthenware, which Shaul HaMelech discovered, was in fact there from sheshes neibreshes. He now wanted to write the name of Hashem on the piece of cheres, and that way the water would subside. So that was the question that he announced. Does anybody know the halacha? Leka de ka'omar le midi. There was nobody who said anything to him. Nobody responded. Omar David kol du yoda le meimar. If anybody knows to say. In other words, if there's anybody here who knows the halacha and is refusing for some reason to come forth and to tell me what the halacha is, ve'einoi oimen, he's not saying it, yechonik begroinoi, he will be strangled by his neck, by his throat. Noso achitoifel kalvachoyme ba'atzmoi. So achitoifel now calculated a kalvachoyme on his own volition, by himself. We should just pause, by the way, and just point out something very, very, very important. We know that there are many different ways shahatira nidreshes bohen. Kavachayma, gzereshava, klal uprat uklal. But we can't go around making up our own gzereshavas. I mean, can you imagine what the Torah would look like if we make our own gzereshavas? Every time it says the word es, or oretz, or shomayim, or shulchan, we start comparing and copying and pasting and arriving at all types of strange maskonis. So that we cannot make a gzera shava up ourselves. So how is it that we ever have a machlokes about a gzera shava? The answer is, as we always explain, because the question is, what would they makabel from their Rebbe? When, however, it comes to a kal v'chaima, that's different. Why is a kal v'chaima different? Because that's pure logic. Now, a kal v'chaima needn't necessarily be something that you are makabel from your Rebbe. It's something that I can work out by myself. You see the word, you see kal v'chaima in the Torah. Remember, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me, eich yishmoeini paroi, how will paroi listen to me? And Rashi says, yeah, this is one of the 10 places in the Torah that you find a kal v'chaima. So a kal v'chaima is not actually a drosha. It's not a drosha that I'm darshaning the pasuk zereshava or klal uprat, etc., etc., where there you need to have a mesiras, a kabbalah from your Rebbe. It's a kal v'chaima. And that's what it means. Nasa achitoifel kal v'chaima ba'atzmai. He thought of the following kal v'chaima. Not necessarily he was makabalit, not necessarily there was a source for this, but he made up the following kal v'chaima, which is a very sound logic. And he said, if already to make shalom between man and wife, Omra Torah, the Torah says, Shmi, my name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Shenichtav B'Kedusha, Yimche Al Hamayim. As we know, when it comes to the Isha Saita, the whole purpose is to bring Shalom Bein Ish Le Ishta, as opposed to her having to die. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take the paper, write my name on it, and put it in the water. Ayles Mechikas Hashem. So you see that the Torah clearly sanctions Mechikas Hashem for the purpose of bringing peace just between two people. Well, if that's the case, Lasa is Shalom, Kol HaOlam, Kuloi. To bring Shalom to the entire world, Al Achas Kamo, V'Kamo, how much more so, it surely must be Mutter. Because by this way of putting the Shem Hashem on the Cheres, and then hopefully the water will be subsiding, and not just bringing Shalom between a couple, but rather between the whole world, otherwise there's a serious risk of a flood. Says Rashi, Lasos Shalom bein ish leishto, in the second wide line, Livdoik es ha-seita, to check the seita, v'im tahoi rahi, and if indeed it turns out that she is pure, yeah, Shalom b'neihem, there will indeed be Shalom between them. That is the purpose of this whole exercise. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shmi shenichtav b'kedusha shekosav b'megillah, because it says in the Megillah, which Megillah? The Megillah of the Seita. It says that when the Isha Seita comes, you have to take a Seifa, and you ask him to write out the entire Pasha, and on a Megillah, on a parchment. And what does it say there? Yitein Hashem Oyscha. You write the Shem Hashem, Kedekstiv, the Kosav, Isha'olo, Isha'ela, as the Pasuk in Pasha's Nosei exactly instructs, you have to write the Shem Hashem on this Megillah. And yet, it's erased for the purpose of bringing Shalom between Ishli Ishli. So Achitofel has proved, not by medium of a drosha, but rather through the logic of a kal vachomer, that what? That this is perfectly permissible to do, not just permissible, it seems to be the correct thing to do. Omalei, and therefore he said, Shari, based on my kal vachomer, I reached the inescapable conclusion that indeed it is permissible. Kosav Shem Achaspo. So indeed, they wrote the name of Hashem on earthenware. The Shodi L'Tahoimo, and they threw it into the Tahoim. The Nochis Tahoimo. And the Tahoim, these waters, they subsided. Shitzar Alfi Garmidi. 16,000 Garmidi. What's Garmidi?
An
Amo. 16,000 Garmidi. That's how much the water subsided. Ki Chazi Dunochis Tuva. When he saw that the water had subsided a lot, Omar, he said, Kamo Dimidli Tvei Mirtav Alma. What does midli mean? Dli is a bucket with which you raise the water. So, kamo de midli, the more the water is raised, tfei, mirtav Alma, the more the world will become moisturized. In other words, even though I'm very thrilled that the water has subsided, but I don't want it to subside 16,000 garamidi to the core of the earth. I'd much rather that the water rose, not above the earth's surface, obviously, because then it will flood the world, but rather close, very close to the earth's surface. And therefore says David, HaMelech, I wish that the water would have risen, at least, or subsided, but not 16,000 garmidi. I wish it would have subsided a little bit, but would remain close to the earth's surface, and that way it would keep it moist. Again, Kichazi denochis tuva, when he saw that the water subsided a lot, Omar kamo demidli tvei miritiv alma. The more it will be raised, the more the, what does miritiv mean? Miritiv from the word ratuv.
Moist.
The world will be more moist. So at that point, what did he do? Let's briefly see a Rashi, third wide line at the end. Kamo demidli tvei miritiv alma. Kamo shahatahoim gavoya. The more that the Tahoim is high up, v'somuch la'aretz, and is close to the ground, mislach le'ach ha'olam, the more the world will become lach. What does lach mean?
Moist.
V'ha'aretz matzmeches peiroseho, And that way the ground will sprout forth its peiros. So therefore I'm thrilled that the water has subsided, but I'm not so delighted that it subsided that much. 16,000 garamidi. So what did he do? Omar Chamesh Esrei Mailois. So he said at that point 15 Shir Hamalois. And what happened? Va'aske. And the water rose Chamesar Alfe Garmidi. And it rose 50, which means Va'ukme. And it stood Va'alfe Garmidi, 1,000 amas away from the earth surface, which was apparently the perfect amount. So now, what do we understand from here? First of all, we understand why they're called Shir HaMa'alois and not Yoridois. To the contrary, this was not to cause the waters to subside. Following its subsiding, he had to then go and raise the water. That's why it's called Ma'alois. But also we understand why 15, each one to raise the water by 1,000 garamidi. Says Rashi, Omar Tezvav Mizmoirim, 15 songs of Shir HaMa'alois. Says the Gemara, Oma Ula. So Ula said, Shma Mino. What is it that I learned from this story? Sumcha Da'ara Alfi Garmidi. Says Rashi, Sumcha Da'ari Oivi Ha'aretz, the thickness of the ground until the Tahoim, is now just 1,000 garmidi. In other words, if you want to know where will you find water, how much are you going to have to dig? 1,000 garmidi. That's what I learned from this story. Because it subsided 16, it rose 15, so it's 1,000 deep. With the obvious question being, v'ha'chazinon, but surely that we see that's not the case. We see that what? Dekarinon purta. When we dig even a little bit, v'nafkimaya, an water does emerge. So how can we understand this story with Ulla's analysis that water is only to be found at the depth of 1,000 garmidi? But we know that when you dig a little bit, whatever, 3 or 4 amas, however much it may be, you find water. So how do we jive that? How does that work out? Says the Gemara, Omar of Masharashia. So Rav Masharashi explained, Hahu Misulma the Poras. That is from the ladder of Pras, Persia. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Sulmi the Poras, Mailois, Hoasuyois, Kemechilois. Mechilois, I think, are tunnels.
Like a cavity in the
right.
In the earth.
There's like tunnels in the ground. Shebohen, through these tunnels, may press the water from the Nahar Pros. Oilin tachas arakia, it rises through the tachas akarka. So it's true. If you want to reach the Tahoim, how much are you going to have to dig? 1,000. Why is it that we find water at much less of a depth? That's different water. That's not from the Tome. That's from the May Pras. Why from the May Pras? Says Rashi, Lefi, Shepras Govoya, Moitzoi Moid. Its existence is very high. Kedamina Bechoyres, as it says in Bechoyres, Kol Hanahores, Lematomi Pras. All other rivers are lower than Pras. Pras is, as it were, the highest water source. Umayim hayoitzim mehar gavoya, and we know the water that flows out from a high mountain im derech mesukan lohem. If it's a derech mesukan, what does a derech mesukan mean? If there is a smooth path, then it will flow. It can't flow upwards, but it will flow oilin al har kayitzim boy. Then it will reach a mountain which is similar to it. But not more. Water can't flow upwards. Lefichoch af hachoifrim bahorim shebabovel. Therefore, also those who dig in the mountains in Bovel, hasmucha leparas, which is very close to paras. So the water tunnels its way through these holes in the ground. It can't rise upwards. Water doesn't flow upwards, but it will reach mountains of a similar height, and therefore moitzin mayim, you will find mayim. So therefore, it's true. If you want to know why it is that water is found at a very shallow depth, it's not from the Tahoim. The Tahoim you need to reach 1,000 garamidi. This is from Paras. So when the Gemara asked that we see, who's we? Where's we? In Bavel. So the more, yeah, Bavel is very close to Paras. If Bavel is very close to Paras, Paras is very, very high up, and therefore that's how we find water, very high up. You don't need to dig that deep. The Omdu, says the Gemara, so that really ends this sugya. So we now understand the 15 Shira Ma'alos, where it came from, why they called Ma'alos and not Yerodos, and why there were 15. Okay,
that explains the 15 Lamalos.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does that relate to the same?
I don't know.
Because Lu means going up, going up as well.
I don't know. Va'omdu koyanim b'shar ho'elyoin sheyoyit. Remember it says, if you look back in the Mishnah in Daf Nun, base, Nun Aleph on base, the eighth line from the top, it says, Va'omdu they seik shiro, va'omdu shmei koyanim b'shar ho'elyoin sheyoyit mezes Yisrael. Says he used to blow the shofar. They gave the mailo asteris, and they got to the tenth step. You've got it circled there. Mailo asteris. Now, our question is, what does the tenth step mean? Tenth step from the top or from the bottom? Says the Gemara, boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, what does that mean? The mailo asteris to the tenth step. Does that mean Dunochis Chamisho? That they went down five stairs. In which case, which step are they standing on? V'ko'i, and which means they're standing Asara on the tenth step from the bottom. Oy Dilma, no, Dunochis Asara. Maybe means they went down ten steps, V'ko'ya Chamisho, and in fact standing on the fifth step. So Moses says, Teiku, we leave it unresolved. Says Rashi, V'ko'ya Chamisho. Omdu al chamisha. What does it mean? They stood on the fifth step. Sha'adayin yesh hei mailos, which would mean that there are still another five stairs. Leireid ad Ezra's Noshim, to go down right to the bottom to the Ezra's Noshim. So that's the question: is it five from the top, five from the bottom, or ten from the top, ten from the bottom? The moral is it unresolved. We do not know. Okay. Tonarabonon. Mi mash mashenemar upneim kedma. If it says in the pasuk that their face was kedma to that particular direction, eini yodea. Do I not know sheachoreim el hechal Hashem? If I tell you that you're facing this wall, well, I know obviously that your back is to that wall. There's no need to go and emphasize that your back is to that wall. It's inherent by saying your face is that to that wall. Is there lama talmud lema achareim al heichal Hashem? So why did it need to say that their backs was to the heichal Hashem? This is a pasuk in Yechezkel. If you look in Rashi, Rashi explains. Mimash moshenem opneim kedmo ein yedei shachareim al heichal Hashem. Shahayu oimdim pesach haheichal. They were standing by the entrance to the Heichal. Kedekziv, as it is written, Bereshit Bekra, in the beginning of that very pasuk, and it says, V'hine Pesach Hechal Hashem Ke'esrim V'chamisho Ish. By the Pesach, the Heichal Hashem, there are about 25 people there assembled. Now, V'loi Havaleila Michtev, it's surely unnecessary to write anything but Elo upnehem keivo. Umemela yodano. What does that mean? Umemela yodano. And I automatically know v'achareyem eleichal Hashem. Why? Sheheichal hu b'ma'arov upischoi b'koisol mizrachi. The Heichal is on the west side, its entrance is on the east side. Therefore, if you're facing towards the east, then obviously you've got your backs to the west. Why is it explaining? Why must it say Achareim and Heichal Hashem? If you remember, by the way, we saw in the Gemara in the Mishnah, in fact, that this initial generation were not tzaddikim. That's why they had their backs to the Heichal Hashem. And that's why the later generation will say, yeah, Avoseinu had our backs. But we don't. To the contrary, we focus completely on HaKadosh Baruch. But either way, what's this emphasis that their backs were to the Heichal Hashem? I can work it out. Says the Gemara, a very frightening thing. Melamed. Do you know this comes to teach us? Shehayu poirin atzmon umatrizin klapei mato. What it means is, says Rashi, mafrien or poirin, megalin. They would expose themselves, or matrizin rei, and they would relieve themselves. In other words, the emphasis on their backs to the Beis HaMikdash means not just the way they were standing, but what they were doing whilst they were standing there. They were so rebellious against HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they exposed themselves and they relieved themselves in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we're not just being told geographically where were they standing. Rather, the emphasis is they had their backs towards the Beis HaMikdash, and what did they do whilst they were there? They relieved themselves in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how rebellious they were, this early generation.
Why does Rebbe find it necessary to bring that remission?
No, the emphasis is on the second generation.
I understand that, but why?
As a tikkun. Yeah, why did it go to you? But as a tikkun, we're being mustake, we're fixing up the avera of the early generation. What did they say? Anu lakar, the lakar einenu. Whilst our forefathers stood their backs to the Beis HaMikdash, as described, we are the exact opposite. We are all focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a lakar einenu. Says the Gemara, Eini. Is that true? Is that what they said? V'ha'omer Reb Zeira, surely Reb Zeira said, Kol ha'omer Shema Shema, Ki'ilu Omar Moidim Moidim. If you say Shema twice, it's as bad as saying Moidim twice. What's halach if you say Moidim twice? Don't we all say Moidim twice? We say Moidim in Shemona Esra, and then we say Moidim Rabbonon in Chazor Sashatz. The answer is, you're right. But you can't say the word Moedim twice in succession. If you merely say the words Moedim, Moedim, I'm thanking, then it sounds like you're thanking two different existences. So the Mishnah in Bracha says, whoever says that, you immediately silence him. Don't talk like that. Whether you mean it or don't mean it, but that's certainly the inference. That's what it sounds like. So the Gemara is telling you, so too, when you say Shema twice, again. Why are you saying Shema twice? Who's talking? Sounds like, again, as if there's two existences, there's two HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chas V'Shalom. So what's the question? How does that relate to our Mishnah?
Based on what he's saying.
Because you're saying twice. You're saying Onu Lekar U Lekar Enenu. You say the word Hashem twice in succession. You can't do that. Says Rashi, if you say Shema Shema Psuka Psuka Vatonilo, each pastor, you said Shema Shema twice. That's the way you learned it. So then that is like Imamaidim Maidim the Tanan Meshat Kin Oisei. You have to silence him. Why? Mishum the Mechzi, because it appears Kishvei Rishuyos, as if there's two Rishus. There's the Rishus of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's another existence, another Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. So if you have to silence him, same thing if you say Shema twice, Moedim twice. So why is our case any better? Hello. Hachi Avri. So this is in fact what they said. Heimo mishtachavim keizmo. They bow down in an easterly direction. Va'onu l'ka mishtachavim. That's the way the Bach is goes. We are bowing down to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Va'einenu l'ka miyachalois. And we are hoping, our hopes and daven tefillahs are towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So have we answered the question? Because it's clearly two separate inyonim. I'm saying I'm bowing down to Hashem, and I'm also miyachal b'Hashem, I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's two separate things. Says Rashi, Onu l'ko mishtachvim v'l'ko einenu miyachalois, d'kiven since da'atrei mili. What does that mean, atrei mili?
Two
separate things. Komid karelei. You are mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Trei zimni twice. V'lav achoda milfi trei zimni. You're not mentioning Hashem's name twice with regard to one subject. Rather, you're mentioning Hashem's name twice with regard to two subjects. Therefore, less lon ba, therefore there's no problem in it. So if you say, I'm bowing down to you, Hashem, Hashem, well, that would be awesome. Why? Because how many subjects are there?
One.
If I would just say, I'm bowing down to you, Hashem, Hashem, that's one subject. So I'll be awesome to say Hashem's name twice. But over here, I'm not saying one subject. I spoke about being mishtachaveh, and I spoke about being miyachel. It's two separate subjects. If you say Hashem's name twice, you say it 1,000 times as well. That brings us to the end of the sugya. I think we can move on to the next. This is a lengthy, lengthy piece of Agadata. In fact, two da straight, basically of Agadata, but the next Gemara is back to Halacha. Not quite till the end of the Masechta, but almost. So. There is a little bit further more Agadata. Okay. It's not the Heilige Mishnah. Let's make a start, and then we'll continue, all being well, next week in the session. Ein poichasim, there was never less me esrim va'achas tkiyos b'mikdash. There were tkiyos. They used to blow. We'll see in a minute when and how and what in the Beis HaMikdash. There were never less than 21. Ve'ein moisifin anal borim v'shmoinah. But there were never more than 48. So minimum 21, maximum 48. Says Rashi, Me esrim v'achas tkiyos b'kol yom, every single day. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash there were at least 21 tkiyos. Because the mefarish v'ozil, as we will soon explain, where the number 21 comes from. Pshuto lafomeho upshuto laachareho. What does that mean, pshuto?
Yeah.
What we call it, kia, straight kia, simple sound. Before and after, the trua ba'emtza. Choshev leitzlas, that's considered three. Have you ever heard somebody who's saying, after Rosh Hashanah, yeah, the baltikia, the tkias went very well? What do you mean the tkias? What about the shvarims and the truas? The answer is that the word tkiyos is, as it were, the collective word for all
three,
for all the different sounds. Now, I think we've mentioned in the past, it's very, very, very important in order to understand our sugya, a little bit of the background. The same is true, by the way, on Rosh Hashanah. We know we blow all different noises and all different sounds. What does it actually say in the Torah when it comes, for example, to Rosh Hashanah? It says one word. Yoim Trua. Do they have Trua? So what do you have to blow on Rosh Hashanah? You have to blow a Trua. Fine. It happens to say it three times. Okay, so therefore you've got to blow a trua three times. So how many koilos do you have to blow? Three. Where do we get 30 and 60 and 100 from? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the end of Rosh Hashanah, says, also we learn from Sukkim, that every trua needs what? Has to be surrounded by tekiyas. It's a sandwich. There's always a tekiyah before and a tekiyah afterwards. Every single one. So a trua, by definition, if it's like saying to you, if I say to you, here, have some jam. Obviously, you know there's two pieces of bread on either side. So there's bread, jam, bread. Tekiyah, trua, tekiyah. Times three is nine. What is the famous problem, however? We don't really know what a trua is. That's with regard to shofar. It might be a shvarim, it might be a trua, or it might be both. So what do? Everything.
All possible.
So we do three times three, and then three times three, and then three times four. So it's nine, and nine, which is 18, plus 12, which is 30. That's where we get the magic number 30 from, which is really the minimum that you must hear in order to be yotzei your mitzvah d'oraisa on Rosh Hashanah. Where we get the 60 from, and the 70, and the 100, that's not our inyan at the moment. But the same is true over here, Rashi's telling us in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Even though, by the way, we'll soon see they weren't necessarily blowing with a shofar. What were they blowing with?
Trumpets.
But it's the same principle. You need a trua, but a trua always has to be preceded and also followed by a tekiyah. And that's called three tekiyahs, even though technically it's not. It's two tekiyah and a trua. But that's what it means. So when we say 21 tekiyahs, what do we really mean? Tekiyahs and also truas. The collective noun for all of the collective words for all of the different sounds is tekiyahs. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Ein poichasin me esrim va'achas tekiyahs v'migdash. There were never less than 21 tekiyahs in the Beis HaMikdash, ve'ein moistifin amal abroin v'shmoina v'chol yoyim. Or they may see in Alar Boim Shmoyne, there were never more than 48. Bekol Yoim Hayusham Esrim Va'achas Tekiyahs Mikdash. Every day there were at least 21. That's what we said before. There's never less. How do you get to 21? Very simple. Cheshbon, says the Mishnah. Shalosh Lepsichas Sha'arim. You used to open the Hazara in the Beis Hamikdash in the morning. There used to be three tekiyahs. Now, what does that mean, three tekiyahs?
Tekiyahs and trua.
Tekiyah, trua, tekiyah. That's three. It says Rashi, Shalosh lepsichas sha'arim, sharei ha'azara. When he used to open the gates, it was amidst great fanfare. Three tekiyahs, or to be more accurate, tekiyah, then a trua, and then a tekiyah, and that's your three. Then, what's next? V'teisha letomid shel shachar. V'teisha l'tomid shel beinu arbayim. They used to blow a further nine for the morning tomid, a further nine for the afternoon tomid, and that's how we get to the number of
21.
9 and 9 is 18, plus 3 is 21, says Rashi. Teisha l'tomid shel shachar. K'shehayu menaschin es nischei hatomid. When they used to do the pourings, the libations of the Nesachim of the Tomid, Halavim Oimrim Bashir. The Levim would sing. O Shloisha Prokim Hoyu Bashir. Shoyu Mafsikim Boy. There were three prokim, there were three stanzas. Three verses in the Shir, Shoyu Mafsikim Boy. What does that mean, Shoyu Mafsikim Boy? He used to make a hapsik. In other words, they didn't sing the Shir from beginning to end in one shot, but rather they used to take breaks in the middle and they used to cut it up, divide it up into three parts. The Toikin HaKoyanim B'chatzitzris. And the Koyanim used to blow in the trumpets or Mishtachavim Ha'om. And the assembled nation, whoever happened to be there in the Beis HaMikdash, would bow down. As we learned in Masechta Tomid, it says, Higiyu leperek. When they got to the perek, what does it mean to the perek? When they got to the end of the verse, Toku, they blew on the shofar. Vishtachavu ha'om al kol perek tkiyo va'al kol tkiyo ishtachavoya. So every perek there was a tkiyo, and every tkiyo there was a bowing down. Va'al kol tkiyo, like we said before, is a trua b'emtza u'pshuta lefoneho v'la'achareho. Whenever we say the word tkiyo, what do we really mean? Sandwich, a trua sandwich.
So it means it was bowed down three times.
Correct. So that's how we get. So for each korban, they sang with shira. It was divided up into three. At the end of each one, they used to blow a tkiyo, shua, tkiyo. Everybody there used to bow down. So that's three times three is nine. Nine for the first korban, nine for the second, that's 18, plus the initial three when they opened up the Azara, and that's how you got to 21.
Nine shofar blasts, but three bowing.
Correct. It's really, yeah, three for the Tomid Shel Shachan, three for the, yes, it's nine altogether, six altogether. So that was on a regular day, because as we know, the Tmidim, Tomid Shel Shachan and Tomid Shel Bein Arabayim, was sacrificed every single day of the year without fail. Makes no difference. Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Yom Tov.
Nine bowing.
Why nine bowings?
We're saying that they bow three times, and they would blow three.
For each three tier, called, each group. Calls, each group.
Yeah, after each pair.
One for each sandwich.
Right. For each pair.
Yep.
No, they were down. Wait a minute.
Each pair, they blow three.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean, blow three? Tkiyo, shua, tkiyo.
And how many times did they bow down during that each point?
Once each group. Once each group.
No, I understood maybe that you would say they would do three. For each of the three.
Too much exercise.
So that's how we get to the number 21. Three when they open the Beis HaMikdash. Nine. Tomid Shel Shachar, that's up to 12, plus another 9, Tomid Shel Bein Arba'im, you're up to 21. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Uba Musafim. On those days when there was a Korban Musaf, for example, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, so then in addition to the Korban, Tomid Shel Shachar, and Tomid Shel Bein Arba'im, there was another Korban, i.e., the Musaf, so it's another 9. So where are we up to now? 30, says Rashi. Uba musafin b'yayim sheyesh b'yim musaf. Moisifin oid teisha l'shir shal musafin, for the singing of a musafin. So it's 21 plus 9. So 3 times 9 is 27 for the 3 karbonas, plus 3 when you open the Beis HaMikdash is 30. Now, uba erev Shabbos, on a regular Friday, there was another 6. Shalosh lahavdil lahavtil esa'om mimelocha. 3 to be mevatel, to tell everybody to stop working. Shalosh lahavdil ben kodesh lechol, which of course is the source of our Shabbos Tairin. Our Shabbos Tairin, which says, okay, that's it, time for Adlachas Neiris, it's mavdil ben kodesh lechol. So, how many would you blow on a regular Friday then? Altogether, on a regular Friday. 27.
No. Oh, yeah, there's no more.
Because 21.
Yeah, this is
yeah, 21 plus 6.
Right.
If that day happened to be, for example, Rosh Chodesh, then it would be 36. Because we say whenever there's no Musaf, there's 30. Okay. Says Rashi, Shloisha lahavtil ha'om ha'malacha k'dem mefarish, as is explained, b'shili perek b'mei madlikim, b'in kodesh l'chol, k'shekideish hayoim, when the day is becoming holy, l'haydiya, to inform everybody, shechashecha, it's becoming dark, therefore you must know, v'yesh me'ato chiev skila b'malacha, and there is from now, and it's a skila chiev skila, if anybody does malacha, therefore be well. Says the Mishnah, weiter. Erev Shabbos Shabbatoich HaChag. So what's the maximum that we could possibly conjure up so far? 36. Because we're told that in addition to the extra 21 on every day, there was an extra 9 when there was a Musaf, and an extra 6 on Erev Shabbos. So if Erev Shabbos happened to have a Musaf, for example, it was Yom Tov, or it was Rosh Chodesh, it'd be 21, plus 9 is 30, plus 6, that's the most. But we were told before that the maximum is not 36, rather is 48. So when was that? Says the Mishnah, I'll tell you. Erev Shabbos, Shabbat Toich HaChog, Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, Hoyisham Arboim V'Shoina. Then there were in fact 48. How on earth did you get to 48? So Rashi says, the Gemara Mishnah says, I'll tell you. Firstly, Shalosh Lepsichas Sha'orim. Like they had
every day.
But no news so far. We're up to 3. Now, we know that the Simchas Beis Hasha'iva, when they got to each Shara, they blew, as we said before. When they got to the Shara Elyoin, Shalosh L'Shara Elyoin, the Shalosh L'Shara Tachtoin, the Shalosh L'Milui Hamayim, 3 to the top gate, 3 to the bottom, and 3 for the filling of the water. So where are we up to so far? 12. The Shalosh Al Gaba Mizbeach, when they finally got to the Mizbeach and they poured the water, not filled it, there's another 3, so we're up to now 15. Teisha la Tomin Shol Shacha, the Teisha la Tomin Shol Ben Arbaim, that's another 18, so that's 33. The Teisha la Musafin, another 9 because it's Musaf, so we're up to 42. But remember, this was Erev Shabbos, so there's always another 6. Shalosh la Havdil Esa'om Min HaMalacha, v'Shalosh la Havdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So when you're doing the Beis HaShoeva, when you're doing the Nisuch HaMayim on Erev Shabbos, and you've got Musaf, so how much does the Nisuch HaMayim add for us? 12. Sorry, 15.
No, because you already have your Pesichas Hasharim.
Right, you already counted that.
It's already there in the first 3, the first 21.
Right. So Shara Elyoin, Shara Tachtoin, Milia Maimus, that's 12. Okay, 12. Plus, that's 12. Plus the initial 3 when they open the Beis HaMikdash, that's 15. There's 3 Karbonos, Shachar Ben Arbaim Musaf, that's 27. 9 times 3 is 27. So 15 plus 27 is 42. Because it was Erev Shabbos, so it was an extra 6. Says 48. Says Rashi, first wide line. Shalosh lepsichas hasha'arim. Says Rashi, yeah, k'moy b'kolyayim. It's like everything. Shiva sha'arim on Yibazara. There were 7 gates, they needed to be opened. 3 blasts. Shalosh v'shara elyoin da'amr le'el, because we said above in the Nun Aleph, in the Mishnah, Korah ha'gever, in the morning, toku v'hiriyu v'toku. That's a tkiya, true tkiya. Shalosh v'shara tachtoin again, da'amr le'el, higiyu la'azara, toku v'hiriyu v'toku. V'hoyu ma'arichin, and they do very long blows, ad she'higiyu l'shara yitzel l'mizrach, v'hushara tachtoin. Now, everybody should have asked the question, you know what we've missed out? Didn't it say when they got to the 10th step that they stopped? Well, but Gemara Mefarish, the Gemara will indeed explain, Amai Loi Choshev, why didn't we consider also Shalosh Amai Lo Hasiris? Okay, but for whatever reason, we didn't. So we're up to 9 so far. 3 opening the gates, 3 Shara Elyoin, 3 Shara Tachin, 9. Shalosh l'milui hamayim achar shemalu, after they filled it, v'shavu bo, and then they returned, lo'em ba'azara, derech shara hamayim. And once again, the Tanan le'el, we learned above in the previous perek, lulav arava, higiyu l'shara hamayim, toku v'iriyu v'toku. So we're up to 15. So we're up to 12 now. Then, shalosh l'gabam izbeach, kashe zik v'nesu arava, and again it says, so now we're up to 15. plus the three karbonos is another 27 is 42, plus it was Erev Shabbos, another 6 is 48. So minimum 21, and every day there was 21. On Musafirin there were 30. If it was also Erev Shabbos,
there's another 6.
There's another 6, that's 36. So Sukkot had all of those 36. Where did you get the extra 12 from? Shara Elyon, Shara Tachtoin, Milya Malayim, and the Mizbeach. Another 12, 36 and 12 is 48. Very simple. Okay, we'll hold it over here. And it's Hashem, we'll reconvene. We'll be well on Sunday morning, yeah.
It'll go well tomorrow.
I'll make a scrap. Baruch Yehuda ben Tzayinu. Difficult.